Welcome back to All the Buzz, where we feature some of our favorite stars and go inside their lives. And today I am speaking to someone who I've looked up to since I was a little girl, and I shouldn't admit that I was sneaking in my mom's bedroom to watch Sex and the City at like 7 years old. And that is author of Sex and the City and so much more, Candace Bushnell. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I'm so happy to have you here. It's great to see you.
Thank you. So much fun to be here. We met in the Hamptons last summer, and it was great to meet you and go to some spotlight parties, which were fantastic.
So. Thank you for your support. It means so much. And I know every time that you walk into one of our events, like I swear to you, especially with our women readers, I just see their heart is like dropping to the floor when they meet you. Like they're so excited. Seriously, you have such a base who loves you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks. And now to have you on our Labor Day issue cover, I'm like, you are such a fashion girl that you had to be on our fall fashion issue. And we've had a good time, right? You've been wearing a lot of clothes today.
Love it. Love it. Love all the clothes, everything I've worn. It's, you know, it's great.
I love that. You were on some, I think, covers out in the Hamptons at some point, right? But it's like been a minute, so it's fresh for us.
Yes. I was on the cover of, I think it was Hamptons Magazine.
Yeah.
Probably 4 years ago.
Maybe. And now we're back and better than ever in 2024.
Exactly.
I was really thinking back to just how much. And again, I shouldn't admit that I was so little when I was sneaking into my mom's room to watch Sex and the City. But there was something even at that age when I didn't really obviously understand relationships and dating, but like this New York energy was exactly what I resonated with because I'm born here. I was born here. This is, you know, my place. And I was just like, wow, whoever wrote this, I remember thinking like really gets New York. And now knowing you obviously and just growing up watching your shows and reading your books, like you are the epitome of a true New Yorker. How much do your New York roots play a role in who you are today?
I would say a huge amount, really. I actually grew up in Connecticut when I was a little girl, and I always just knew I would someday move to New York and be a writer. And I guess part of it was because I would read about New York so much in like children's books. And I just loved like the glamour of it. And I just knew I would, you know, that was my dream. And I actually ran away from college when I was 18 and moved to New York with, you know, the old $20 in my pocket story. And was just immediately fell in love with the city like so many people do and felt like this is the place where I belong.
Yeah.
And I think that is an experience that so many people have who come from outside of the city. They come to the city and they feel like, oh, this is where I find like-minded people.
Yeah.
You know, it's people who they didn't really feel like they fit into their small town.
Yeah, it's
true. So they come to New York. So, and I immediately started writing about New York because I just met so many crazy characters. I used to go to Studio 54. So my first piece was actually how to act in a disco. And one of the lines was, if somebody dies, ignore them. Which was really the attitude of New York in like 1978.
Yeah.
It was, you know, New York, it always had its own sense of humor. It was very cynical, sharp, dark.
Yeah. Energy. I feel like the pandemic changed New York for so many people, but do you still feel that New York or nowhere energy in you? Like, is this it for you?
Yes. I mean, I feel like it's really, you know, coming back in that sense. And people are going out. I mean, the thing about New York is that it's a social city. It's a very social city. And, you know, people still really network by going out.
Yeah.
So in some ways, and that was what the city was like when I was writing Sex and the City, before Sex and the City, people really felt like going out was part of their job.
Yep.
And I'm feeling that again. Like the things that I go to, the parties and events that I go to, almost nobody is on their phone. People are interacting with each other.
Yeah, I love to hear that people are more present, because obviously since COVID, like, I feel like everyone just appreciates the moment a little bit more. And speaking about people who think, you know, it's part of their job to go out, which I feel like for someone like you and me, it is. That was also very much the case for Carrie Bradshaw, I feel right?
Yes. And, you know, of course, it was so funny because now that the show is on Netflix, I actually watched the pilot and I hadn't watched the show. I haven't watched the show like 100 times, you know, like a lot of the real fans have.
Yeah.
But I watched the pilot and I was actually really struck by how, like, literally 90% of the lines in the pilot came from the book. And all of the characters in the pilot came from the book. So it really, and it almost made me feel a little, I guess I felt sort of wistful and like, oh, you know, I miss those days of, you know, that excitement of New York and going out where you would make your own story, like, every day, every night. You didn't know what was going to happen. And we used to say, you know, we feel like so many things happen in one day in New York that any place else, maybe this many things would happen in 1 month.
Yeah, it's so true.
And yeah, so it really brought back the memories. I mean, it really brought me back to 1994 when I started writing the column.
That was the year I was born, Candace.
Okay, there you go.
That was the year. Carrie, you have mentioned that your life has heavily inspired her character, right? So I'm just curious, like, when you were thinking about writing Sex and the City, did you ever think, instead of writing about a fictional character, did you ever think about just writing about you as an autobiography at all at the time?
Well, the Carrie Bradshaw is me. So, and I tell this story in my one-woman show, True Tales of Sex, Success, and Sex and the City.
Check it out.
Of why I created that character. And I remember I was, and there was a reason, because my parents called up and said, oh, we're going to start reading, we have a subscription to the New York Observer.
Yeah.
And my parents were pretty conservative. And I had just gone to a sex club for the first piece. And I was just like, oh no. So I was just sitting there thinking, I've got to do something. And then I realized an alter ego. And that name just came to me, like, Carrie Bradshaw. And then I was Carrie Bradshaw. So that's how that character came about. So the character really, it was me, but I changed my name
to Carrie.
Yes.
Do you recall the moment where things took off? Because I just want to, like, emphasize for our younger listeners and readers of the magazine that you didn't have social media during the time that Sex and the City blew up. It was really, you know, traditional, right?
I mean, for me, the big moment was actually when I got the column. And that, for me, was when I really felt like my life was going to change, because I'd been trying to get a column for a long time.
Yeah.
And I actually had a column in Mademoiselle maybe it was just a couple of months, because then I think the editor left or something like that, which happened in magazines a lot. But I remember when I got the column, when I was writing Sex and the City, I lived on the Upper East Side. I lived on 79th between 2nd and 3rd. And I remember, like, walking up Park Avenue and just being so happy. And you know, it was like one of those days, like, all the doormen were like, oh, hello, miss. Because back then they called me miss instead of ma'am.
And you're still a miss to us, Candace.
Thank you. And just feeling like that was really the big break.
Yeah. What a moment.
And then, you know, people started watching it on HBO, and it got word of mouth. That was really how it came about.
Happened. Right. It's amazing to see sort of the evolution of the Sex and the City brand, right? Since it started with you and your writing. And since And Just Like That, I feel like some people don't necessarily relate to the characters as much anymore. Do you still relate to the Carrie Bradshaw that we're seeing now well over a decade later with this new installment of the series out?
I do. And I guess I have a very... You know, I suppose it's different for me because, you know, for me, it's a business. You know, the TV business is really a business. And, you know, people make decisions for all kinds of different reasons, which I understand.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really like And Just Like That. I think it's great. And I think that, you know, there are writers on the show and they all bring their own vision and, you know, I mean, people, you know, they do things for, you know, sort of technical and creative reasons, which I understand because I've worked in that business. So I'm fine with all of it, actually.
I honestly still haven't recovered from the fact that Mr. Big is no longer in the show. And I understand things happen and controversies and everyone's always so careful about doing the right thing. But putting all of that aside, I do think there is something missing without him. Like, he was the top, you know, to Carrie's pot or the lid to the pot, whatever the saying is. I miss him on there still.
Yeah, see,
you know?
I mean, I really understand that because... it's like they have to get rid of Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Because they need her to have a new chapter in her life. Otherwise, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe they should have killed him in the third episode or something.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
It was
but
quick.
People were, I think, really shocked by that. But you know what? Everyone was talking about it. So.
Right.
So, you know, good on them. I mean, that's what it takes in TV these days. I mean, you've got to go big.
Or go home.
Go big or you are going home.
I like that. Yes.
You know, and they went big and I love it. I think it's great.
I want to
No pun intended.
I want to talk about this chapter of your life right now. I've gone to your one-woman show at the Canoe Place Theater in the Hamptons last summer, and I loved it. And I brought my little brother and my husband now and my mom, and, like, we just had the best time. And you talked a lot about your dating life, and I resonated a lot with you. I had a little bit of a crazy dating life before meeting my now husband. And it's tough out there. And I feel like for my single friends, this has been a really tricky time to meet guys. And I want to know how you're feeling in this stage of your life. Like, are you dating? Are you matching with people? How are you meeting people?
You know, I'm on a couple of dating apps. One, I never go on at all because it says something like, it's Hinge.
Okay.
And then I look at my phone and it's like, you have 785 people who like you. It's like, I don't even know how to get those people. Well, this has been basically over a year. So I don't really look at it. And then I'm on, you know, another one, Raya, that everybody I know is on it. Like, I have like so many female and male friends who are on it. And I don't think anybody ever really meets on it because everybody is too busy. I mean, I've met up with maybe three people in a couple of years, and you try to meet, but everybody's really, really busy.
Right.
You know.
What about Bumble?
That one I was on briefly. It's probably still on my phone. You know, people, and then there's this other thing. People are like, I'll delete the app. It's like, who cares?
Right.
What difference does it make? I don't know. There's all that. But when I went on Bumble, it was a lot of, again, guys who I knew who I wouldn't ever have dated anyway.
What does Candace Bushnell say as an opening line on Bumble? Like, what do you say?
Oh, well, I don't really go on Bumble that much.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess everybody has little things that they do. Like, one friend she's on Raya and she does a little hand wave.
Okay.
You know, just so, like, hello, how are you? I mean, I think keeping it simple is right. really the key, because when people try to get too creative sending messages, I think it backfires.
I agree.
Because you read a lot into it and you think, ugh, you know what, this person thinks they're funny, but they're not funny.
Yes.
Or it's like, don't try too hard. Keep it simple.
It gets a little weird. I just want to... I met my husband on Bumble, so I don't want you to lose hope on that app, because it's very much location-based and
right.
you just don't know. Like, I think these apps go through cycles. Sometimes some are good, some yes, are bad. Like,
exactly.
you can't give up on them.
Yes, you know? Exactly. And, you know, for me, it's like, yes, location is really important. Like, I'm not going to have a long-distance relationship. I mean, it's... I think the other thing I think that makes it really, really hard for people these days is that everybody is so busy. You know, before there was the phone, people somehow had more time. I mean, I just remember, like, I had time to hang out with my friends and not do anything, just sit around and talk on the weekend. Like, I never do that.
Yeah.
And most of the people I know don't do that. Everybody's kind of working 7 days a week because everybody has to be their own brand these days.
Yeah.
And it's a 24-hour job for pretty much everybody.
I want to pick up on that.
Brand. And that's really the biggest problem is people, they don't have time. And yeah. everyone's a little bit addicted to their phone. I mean, I am.
It's not good.
I look at that damn thing like every 20 seconds, maybe something happened. No, nothing happened. You just got some annoying texts.
I had to delete Citizens off my phone because it was just causing such anxiety. What was I going to say to you, Miss Candace? It was something very important about building your brand. Because
oh, yes.
that's something that I think a lot of women especially are really focused on. I think the security of a 9-to-5 job is no longer there.
Yes. I mean, we live in a completely, you know, we live in an attention economy.
I like
which
that.
Is, you know, it's tough. It's really tough because the reality is that being good online, you know, being good on social media, it's like if you are and you have a lot of followers, honestly, it's really 90% luck.
Yeah.
Like you just work on that medium, and not everybody works on that medium. Like, I don't think I work on that medium.
And I don't think I do either. And I think this is a very good point because people think they can just start an Instagram and start, you know, posting their favorite outfits and making money. But I relate to you. Like, we have a craft. You have your writing. Like, I have my magazine. Like, we have a business that's not just on Instagram. And we just happen to have followers because of what we do, right? Like, I think that is a more, honestly, strategic way to kind of go about Instagram today. Or else you're just getting caught up in this over-congested
Yes, but
world.
You know what? It's like... You know, and a lot of it is, it's like being an actor.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some people, they really work on screen. They have that X factor that works. And you kind of either have that or you don't. You're born with it or not. And I think that's something that's very, very frustrating. And, you know, at one time there were gatekeepers, which... You know, it's interesting because now there aren't gatekeepers with social media. So a lot more people have opportunities to connect with an audience. You know, on the other hand, the thing that was sort of good about gatekeepers was they could curate a little bit and develop talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, that helps some people too, because some people aren't good at connecting directly with the audience.
Totally agree. Speaking of the audience, you are now traveling around the world performing, basically, right? In front of, would you call it performing? I mean, I think
it's
performing.
It's performing.
Yeah.
It's acting.
You're
like,
acting.
As somebody said, I do skits. I fall off the couch. So I do physical things and a little bit of acting. It's performing, and it's, you know, it's choreographed, and I've done it in so many places now, and I knew doing this because I watched a lot of stand-up comedians, and I realized, you know, a lot of them would be coming off the stage, and they would say, you know, thank you. This is the 125th show I've done in a row. Hmm. And there's something about it, like you need to do it 125 times to really get it down. And now I feel like I've done it so many times that you get to a certain comfort level that you don't have like the first 10 times you do it. You just, there's no way. So yeah. It's, you know, again, it's something that you just have to do it a lot, which is true of writing.
Right.
You know, you got to put in the man hours.
Practice makes perfect. Do you have any goals of being in movies now and starring in other shows?
I would, except that, as everybody points out, first of all, you know, if you're over 60 as a woman, there aren't very, very many parts anyway.
Yeah.
And mostly you're going to be a mother or a granny. Well, I don't want to be no granny, okay? And also, nobody has asked me. I thought, gee, maybe this would lead to something, but it hasn't.
Sometimes I think it takes a second for everyone to realize, you know,
well, I'm sort of, you know, like everybody does, they do, you know, a small appearance on Law and Order. I'm like, where's my Law and Order offer?
Right. Well,
I could just come on for a second. Hi.
Okay.
They're dead.
Hopefully they're listening, right? Let's get those Law and Order producers to book Candace here. We are going to wrap some things up here. But before we get to our final question, we want to play a little game of rapid fire with you, okay?
Great.
So yes or no, would you be on The Real Housewives of New York?
I would, except I have been on it. And I'm not really the right energy, the right fit.
Okay. East Hampton or Southampton or something different?
I would probably say Sag Harbor, but I would say Southampton before East Hampton.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Scandalous. Okay. Coffee or tea?
Both.
Favorite designer?
I'm wearing a lot of Pat Bow right now.
Very nice. Go-to cocktail?
A glass of champagne or a Cosmo. I still drink them.
Very nice. And what is your favorite Carrie Bradshaw line that you ever wrote?
Well, that's kind of hard because I think, you know, I mean, I wrote, you know, things in the book and I don't know that so much of that ended up in the show. So what would be the favorite line?
And just like that.
No, no, it was maybe when, you know, she lost her chew, when somebody stole her shoes. Remember that?
Yeah, yes.
Yes,
that
somebody
was,
stole her shoes. And then actually one of my favorite episodes is the one when they go to Staten Island to judge the fireman contest.
That was so funny.
And then Charlotte drinks too much and she's dancing. And then they're on the ferry coming back, and she's like, where is he? I've been dating for 20 years, and I still can't find him. I'm like, yeah, that's New York.
That is New York. Candace, what's next for you? What are you looking forward to, and where can everybody keep following along with you?
Well, they can follow along with me on Instagram at Candace Bushnell. And I'm doing this one-woman show. And then I'm hoping that I'll be working on a reality show, a dating reality show for women over 50. So we'll see about that.
Well, hopefully when this all comes out, that show is really starting to film and we'll get to hear more about that soon.
Exactly. Okay.
Thanks for joining All the Buzz, and make sure to tune in for more episodes. Bye now.